Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Ivan III, also known as Ivan the Great, was the Grand Prince, the Tsar of Russia from 1462 to 1505. Ivan was not married, which concerned his advisors. Who would inherit the kingdom when he died? Ivan told his advisors that he had no time to find a wife, but if one were found for him, he would marry her. A search was made for an appropriate wife, and finally, one was chosen. The daughter of the king of Greece. She was beautiful and charming, and he agreed to marry her. There was only one problem. Her father would not allow it unless Ivan became a member of the Greek Orthodox Church. So a priest was sent to teach Ivan about Christianity and the particular beliefs of the Greek Orthodox Church. Ivan was taught and then traveled to Greece to be baptized with 500 of his best soldiers accompanying him as his bodyguards. The 500 soldiers, ever loyal, asked if they could be baptized as well. So 500 Greek Orthodox priests were asked to come out so the soldiers could be immersed in one mass baptism. There was only one problem. The Greek Orthodox Church understood the commandment, "Thou shalt not kill," to mean that under no circumstances could anyone intentionally take the life of another. And these 500 men were all soldiers. Killing was their profession, and they were not willing to give it up. Finally, a plan was formed. And when the time came for these men to be baptized, just before they were immersed in water, each soldier raised his right arm, the arm that was used to hold their swords, so that they could continue to use their arms to kill. And that day, there were 500 unbaptized arms. 500 left out right arms.
Hey, just a show of hands, have you ever been given a gift card? Just straight your hand. Okay, probably like 100% of us. As you sit here this morning, do you have a gift card on you, like in your wallet or purse? Okay, have you ever like had a gift card in your wallet, in your purse, and you never used it, you never redeemed it because you just forgot it was there and that you had it? Okay, absolutely. My wife, Lisa, she cleaned out the console in one of our cars a while back, and she walked into the house and she handed me a stack of gift cards. And these are gift cards that I had actually cleaned out of my wallet like several months before that when I was sitting in the car. And the reason I cleaned out my wallet is it had gotten so thick. It started to look like George Costanza's wallet. Any Seinfeld fans here? Yeah. I mean, I could barely, you know, like fold it over. And then like every time I sat down, I was just like this, you know. I was just tilted, and my chiropractor just loved that, you know. And so I don't even remember where I was, but I was sitting in my car. I was like, man, I gotta clean this thing out. And so I just cleaned it out, took the gift cards out, stuck it in the console, and then totally forgot that they were there. And so my wife, she hands them to me, and so I'm looking through them. I'm calling the different cards to find out what kind of money's still on them. And I had a Cracker Barrel card that had like $3.22 on it, which might as well be zero if you live in Las Vegas, because there is no Cracker Barrel in Las Vegas, which that's a whole nother sermon, a whole nother time, because that's quite an injustice. But on to other things. I had a Chili's gift card that had like $8.11 on it. That's not, yeah, not too bad. I could go out by myself with that, you know. I had a Cold Stone Creamery card, and I called them, and they informed me that they no longer recognize that card. I'm not even sure what that means, you know, but I just know I'm not going to get anything from it. But, man, do you know that stores and restaurants, they make a killing off of unredeemed gift cards? In 2006, $80 billion in gift cards were purchased. Experts estimated a couple years later that for 2006, that $8 billion, so 10% of that full amount, went unredeemed. Best Buy alone made $16 million in 2006 because of unredeemed gift cards. Since 2005, $41 billion has gone unredeemed in gift cards. So I kind of thought like maybe we could break them into two groups today. Those of you who don't redeem gift cards and those of you who do. And those of you who don't could just kind of give your gift cards to those who do. And it'd be like a win-win. Are we good with that? Okay, yeah, okay. But everybody who redeems, I'm like, yes, that would be awesome. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but on the back of some gift cards, not all of them, but on some of them, there's a sentence that I think kind of goes without saying, but they feel some necessity to print it. And it's four words, and it's simply this: not good unless redeemed. Thank you. Didn't know that, right? Not good unless redeemed. In other words, the card company's going, hey, listen, if you take this card and you stick it in your wallet, stick it in your purse, and you don't use it, it's not going to do you any good. And it's not going to do anybody else any good. Except, of course, the name of the store on front of the card. It's going to do lots of good. But because it's not good unless redeemed. The Bible says that once you become a Christian, once you decide to start following Jesus, that you're actually given a gift card. It doesn't actually say that in the Bible, that you're given a gift card, but what it says is that you're given a spiritual gift. And a spiritual gift is simply a special God-given ability that God gives to each of his followers to help you do God's work on this earth. In other words, when you decide to follow Jesus, God gives you a gift card, a spiritual gift, for you to use it and to involve you in the task of accomplishing God's work on this earth. For instance, the Bible talks about these different spiritual gifts. It talks about like the spiritual gift of leadership. It talks about the spiritual gift of generosity, the spiritual gift of administration, the spiritual gift of hospitality, and on and on. And spiritual gifts aren't these like weird, freaky things. They're actually just like normal abilities. But when they're given by God and they're used for God, they take on a much greater power than that ability would normally. It goes from a normal ability to this spiritual gift. And what the Bible says is that if you've chosen to follow Jesus, then God has given you a gift card, okay? a talent, an ability to be used, not selfishly, not for your own good, but to be used to make a difference in the lives of other people. Unfortunately, what happens is many people, and maybe even you, they take that gift card and they leave it in their wallet or their console, and they never redeem it. And it becomes a left out right arm in their relationship with God. Because what God has given them, they're not using. And as a result, God's work suffers. But more than that, your spiritual life and your spiritual growth suffers as well. Because that gift, that ability that God has given you, well, it's not good unless redeemed. If you have your Bibles, pull them out, open them up to the book of 1 Corinthians. We're going to be hanging out in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 today. And if you don't have a Bible, it's okay. We're going to put all the scriptures on the screen behind me. If you don't own a Bible, let me encourage you to stop by our Velcro Bar, which is just a great place to connect and ask questions, find out what's going on behind you. Stop by there. We give away free Bibles there. You don't even have to talk to anybody. You can just grab one. No strings attached. So we'd love for you to have a Bible on your way out if you don't have one today. But we're going to be hanging out in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want you to see this morning the incredible genius behind the way God has designed the church, okay, his church. This book, 1 Corinthians, was written by a guy named Paul. And Paul was a follower of Jesus, one of the early leaders of churches when the church was just beginning. And Paul's writing to this new church in Corinth, a church full of new Christians. And he's trying to explain to these new Christians that they are a part, help them see that they're a part of something larger than just themselves, okay? And so here in 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to start in verse 7. It says this: Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit, which is another way of saying spiritual gift, is given for the common good. There's a guy by the name of Eugene Peterson. He's a pastor, and he's actually taking a lot of time to like paraphrase different scriptures and just to kind of everyday, simple language. And I love the way he paraphrases this verse. He writes this. We'll put it on the screen. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. Each person, you, okay, you're given something to do that shows who God is. And the idea here, what Paul's saying is that God's given some people the spiritual gift of leadership. Okay? Because you know what? The church needs leaders. But he hasn't given everybody the gift of leadership. He's given other people, you know, the gift of mercy. Because part of the role of the church is to reach out and to show compassion to those who are sick and hurting. He's given other people the gift of administration because the church needs to be organized. You know, if no one in the church is using their gift of administration, then things are just chaotic, okay, and out of order. He's given other people the gift of teaching because the church, one of the church's roles is to teach the Bible to adults and to children. And so what Paul's saying here is that everyone gets a gift card. And if we'll all pull our gift card out and we'll all use our gift card, redeem it, everyone benefits. And the church begins functioning the way God desires the church to function. Everyone gets in on it, and everyone benefits. Paul continues here, and we're going to kind of skip down to his conclusion. We'll kind of come back up here in a moment, but I want you to just kind of grasp where Paul's going here in this chapter. In verse 27, he says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." What Paul's saying is you plural, okay? You are the body of Christ. And let's just pause there because your first reaction may be, no. No, we're not. Like Jesus had a body, right? I mean, he walked on the earth. He was crucified. He rose from the dead. We're not the body of Christ. Jesus has a body. Okay? And Paul says, no, listen, hang with me. You, okay, as a group of people who have made a decision to accept Jesus as like Savior and leader of your life, okay, you today on this earth, you are the physical presence, physical representation of Jesus Christ. You are the body of Christ. Me? No, not you, singular. You, all of you. He says, you together are Jesus on this earth. You are the body of Christ. And each one of you, singular you, is a part of it. Okay? He says, you collectively, you're the hands and the feet and the eyes and the ears and the nose and the mouth of Jesus on this earth. And individually, each one of you plays a part in it. And what we see here is that the church, okay, us collectively, those of us who follow Jesus, the church is the vehicle that God has chosen to take the message of Jesus and his love to every generation and all people. And what Paul does here in this chapter, he explains to us, and this is incredibly important, he explains to us the relationship between the individual Christian, okay, that's me, lone Christian, you, lone Christian, and all other Christians. Okay? And what he says is collectively, we are the body of Christ. Okay? Individually, we're not. I'm not. But, you know, you don't have to hang out with us very long to realize individually we're not, right? You learn that pretty quick. But what Paul says is collectively, this is so important, collectively as a body, the closest you will ever get, this is what Paul's implying, the closest you will ever get to being with Jesus on this earth is when you're with a group of Jesus' followers. What Paul's saying here, and this, you know, this is so huge in our culture, where we look up to the Lone Rangers, right? where our heroes are strong and self-sufficient, where we celebrate and honor the self-made man or the self-made woman. I mean, this is huge in our culture where it's so autonomous and where it's just all about me and doing what I want to do when I want to do it, and who cares about anybody else anyway. Paul says, listen, you got to understand, you weren't saved as an individual to function as an individual. You were saved as an individual, and then you were joined together with all other individual Christians to function together. Together, you're the body of Christ. Whether you know it or not, whether you like them or not, that doesn't matter. You were connected to all the other Christians. And together, okay, us, we are Jesus on this earth. We are the body of Christ. Here's what Paul's saying. It's impossible to follow Jesus alone. To which we push back a little bit, right? Because you think, oh, no, I'm actually good. I'd rather do it on my own, right? But Paul says, no, actually you can't do that. Because what Paul's saying is when you identify your life with the person of Jesus, whether you realize it or not, you are identifying, you're joining your life with the people of Jesus. When you identify your life with the person of Jesus, whether you know it or not, you are joining your life with the people of Jesus. And together, okay, with the church, it is impossible to follow Jesus apart from this serious personal commitment to the family of Jesus followers, to a local church. And I realize, man, some of you, when you hear that, you think, man, it kind of scares you, quite honestly. You're thinking, man, this idea of committing or recommitting to a church, man, it just stirs up something unpleasant in you. Some unpleasant memory, some unpleasant feelings. And you're sitting there thinking, man, Jeff, I'm totally fine with committing to Jesus. But, man, committing to church, man, that's another story. And the reality is it is a story, isn't it? Because for a lot of you, man, you've probably got something in your past, some time in your past where you were just burned by the church. You had some kind of bad experience in the church. Or maybe it wasn't even a church you were in, but perhaps you were on the outside and you just watched a church from the outside just torn apart by greed and arrogance and maybe a lack of moral integrity. And as a result, your view of the church has been just distorted by negative experiences or wrong perceptions. And so the idea of committing to a church, I mean, you're just thinking, no thanks. Right? You just rather run. And let me just say, I totally understand how you feel. Totally get it. And I totally understand why you would be hesitant. But here's what Paul says. He says that we are not ourselves by ourselves. Paul says that there's a part of you and there's a part of me that will never be fully realized apart from a commitment to this thing called the church. Now, obviously the question is, what does a commitment to a church look like? And honestly, there's several ways that you can live out a commitment to a church, but one of those definitely involves getting out your gift card and redeeming it. One of those areas that you just express commitment to the body, the body of Christ, the church, is through serving. Listen as Paul unpacks this a little bit more in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. He says, just as the body is though one, has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. What Paul's saying is, hey, God made up our bodies with many parts. Okay, we get that. I mean, we've got all kinds of parts. Eyes and ears and mouth and arms and legs. Some of us have hair more than others, maybe, you know. Not jealous or anything, but you know, while there's many parts, it's one body, right? I mean, you never see like an eyebrow just shopping at the grocery store all by itself, right? You know, it's you. It's fully you, okay? It's one body, many parts, but one body. And Paul says, it's the same way it is with Christ. And in this chapter, Paul uses Christ and the church interchangeably, which makes sense because the church is the body of Christ. And so Paul's saying, hey, just as our physical body is made up of many parts, so it is within the church, okay? He says, verse 13, for we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. What he's saying is that when you identify your life with the person of Jesus, you join your life with the people of Jesus. That's what he's saying here. Verse 14, even so, the body's not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, think about that for a moment. If the foot should say, like if the foot should say anything, what would it say? You know, if the foot were going to carry on a conversation with other parts of the body, like, what would it say? You know, like, I know I'm ugly, but, what? You know, you're always walking all over me. Like, I wish you'd stop. You're always covering me up. Why can't I be a hand? You know, when you greet people, you stick out a hand. Why can't you stick me out every once in a while, right? But sometimes there's people you've met that you'd like to, right? What would the foot say? You know, what do I even matter? And listen to what Paul says. He says, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. I mean, we would say, of course you're a part of the body. You're the foot, right? I mean, you're a part of the body. Just because you're not a hand or a mouth, that doesn't mean you're any less a part of the body. It just means you're a different part of the body. And you're still a part, and you're no less a part of the body than the hand. And here's what Paul's getting at here. What Paul's saying is that sometimes you judge your value to the church. You judge your value to Verve even based on your giftedness. Okay? And you look around and go, you know, I can't speak. I can't sing. So I don't know if I have any value. You know? And maybe even there's something in you that says, I don't even really feel like I'm a part of that because I don't know what my role is. I don't know what my function is. And what Paul's saying, he's like, now hang with me. If you were baptized into the body, if you made a decision that you wanted to follow Jesus, you're a part of the body. You're a part of the church. You've got a role in the church. And the fact that maybe as you sit here today, you don't know what your role is, or that maybe you have a hard time not comparing your role to someone else's role, understand that you are no less a part of the body because God's put you in the body. See, here's what we do in the church sometimes. We actually do this a lot of times. We compare gift cards. You ever been like, maybe like the holidays, Christmas, you get your family together, opening gifts, and like your uncle gets a gift card to like P.F. Chang's. You're like, oh man, that's cool, you know, and you're like, man, I hope I get that, you know. And so then like you open your gift, and it's like those stupid gift certificates to McDonald's. You know, you're like, what the heck, you know, what's that about? You know, and we compare our gift cards. I wish I'd gotten their gift card instead of the gift card I got. And what Paul said, man, we do that in the church too. We look around and we start believing that if someone can teach or someone can play an instrument like some of these guys can, that, you know, they're more important than those who maybe serve behind the scenes. You know, who maybe run sound and lights in the tech ministry, or maybe they teach and care for our kids in our kids' ministry. And what Paul's saying is that's just not true. Okay? Stop comparing your gift card with others. Okay? Because really the only difference between gift cards is that some gift cards are more visible than others, but no gift card's more important than others. Paul says there's not like brand name gift cards and generic gift cards. Okay, they're all gift cards. They're all spiritual gifts given by God. And you're all a part of the body. And it takes all parts of the body working together as a team, whether it's visible or not as visible, for the body to function at its best. See, here was God's dream for the church. It's what Paul's talking about. God's dream is that the church be administrated by people with the gift of administration. That just makes sense, doesn't it? God's dream is that the church be led by people who have the spiritual gift of leadership. God's dream is that the church ought to be helped by people who have the gift of mercy. The church ought to be cared for by people who have the spiritual gift of helping. Okay? And what Paul's saying is your spiritual gift, you are an indispensable part of the body of Christ. Regardless of what your gift card is, you play a vital role in the church. He continues in verse 17. He says, if the whole body were an eye, picture that. Yeah. The whole body were just an eye, okay? Where would the sense of hearing be? Okay? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? If the whole body, if it was just a big ear, I guess couldn't even really walk. Maybe if you're an eye, you could roll around, But if that was your whole, that's just weird, isn't it? He's like, that's just strange. And what Paul's saying, he's like, man, if everybody in the body was the same, had the same gift card, had the same talent, same ability, same role, if we were all an eye, what good would that do? Absolutely none, right? I mean, if you imagine if everybody at Verve had the spiritual gift of leadership, we'd all hate each other, right? We'd all be leading groups of one, just us, because we'd all be, nope, I got to go this direction. No, I'm going this direction. What good would that do? It wouldn't do any good. And that's what Paul's getting at here. He said, we got to understand that we got to have a foot. We got to have a mouth. We got to have an ear. We got to have all these different gifts. Okay, it takes every part for any part to be significant. Remember, everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. Okay? He continues here. He says, but in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. The gift that God has given you, the gift card you have, God gave it to you. And he gave it to you for a reason. He has built his body, the church, the way he wants it built. And that means that you play a significant role in whether the church functions the way God designed the church to function. And the fact that maybe as you sit here this morning, you don't know how you fit doesn't change the fact that you fit. And the fact that maybe as you sit here this morning, you feel like maybe you don't have a significant role to play doesn't change the fact that you have a significant role to play. And here's what I want you to definitely hear from me today, and I want you to know, is that here at Verve, we are committed to helping you realize and redeem your gift card. Okay? I mean, we're just committed to coming around you and helping you realize your role within the church. And there's a lot of ways we do this, but a couple ways that we do on a regular basis is one is through one of our core Verve U classes called Verb. Verb's a 6-week class, and during this class, we just go through some very practical steps of helping you discover your abilities and your talents and your uniqueness, your strength, and then we help you discover how to use your gift card and where God can best use your gift card, both inside Verve and outside of Verve. And it's a great class. I think it's the most fun class we do here at Verve. And we've actually got Verve is going to be taught at our next Verve U semester, which is kicking off Sunday, February 23rd. And let me just say, here's one of your challenges today. If you have never taken Verve here, you should not leave here today without signing up. Seriously. It is a blast. And so stop at the Velcro bar on your way. They can get you signed up. And if you don't want to take my word for it, before you leave, just ask a few people. Hey, have you ever taken Verb? And you find a few, and they're going to say exactly the same thing I am. It is a great class. You will have a blast with it. And sign up. So if you don't do anything else, sign up for Verb today before you head out. And now, another way of realizing and redeeming your gift card is very simple. You know what it is? It's just jumping in. You just jump in and start serving. And this is why we do something around here called a first serve. And a first serve, it just kind of gives you an opportunity to test drive a position of service here at Verve without any obligation to serve in that ministry anymore or any other times if it's not a good fit for you. And you can do a first serve in as many ministries as you want, okay? And I mean, it's just a great way. You know, if you're somebody who loves hanging out with kids, you should totally get involved in our kids' ministry, okay? And like, regardless what your gift card is, your spiritual gift, I mean, we can totally use you in different ways within our kids' ministry. If you're the kind of person, you like buttons and gadgets and you're kind of tech savvy, you should get involved in our tech and production ministry. Those guys won't allow me back there. I'm not allowed because that's not my gift card, okay? I just mess things up. But if that's something you enjoy, you should totally get involved and do a first serve in that ministry. If you're the kind of person, you have a heart and passion for those in need, get involved in our compassion ministry. There's so many different ways to serve in our compassion ministry. And here's what I've learned through just years of leading and seeing people put their gift card into play. Just one of the greatest steps you can take to fully realize the gift card God's given you is just to jump in, okay? Just to dive in and to start serving with other people and just try a whole bunch of stuff till you just get to that place where you're going, this is it. This is why God created me. This is how God can use me best, okay? Because sometimes discovering that, it helps when you discover a lot of things that God didn't create you to do, okay? You just realize, okay, that's not something I should ever do again, okay? And that just helps. That's not it. Maybe it's something else. And you find it. And let me just say, today's a great opportunity for you to take and sign up for a first serve. When you came in today, you may have noticed some tables in the lobby, and we're having a ministry fair. And what that is we have these tables up with different ministries out there that you can get involved in. And so when you leave here, don't rush out, okay? I know you're hungry, but don't rush out. Hang out for a little bit. After you sign up for Verb at the Velcro Bar, which you're going to do, right? Okay, you like what I did there? Okay, after you do that, hang out at the ministry fair. Just walk around the tables, and we've got signs up with each ministry. It kind of just tell you different responsibilities and roles that you can play within that ministry. And pick one. Pick a few and say, you know what, I'm going to do a first serve in this one or these few. And just jump in and start getting involved. Look, we're committed to helping you realize and redeem your gift card, what part of the body you are, what role God has gifted you to serve in. But on your end, you've got to take a step. Okay? You just got to come to a place and say, hey, I'm in. I want to learn what my role is. And one of the best ways you can do that is today is you can sign up for Verb and you can sign up for a first serve during our ministry fair. Years ago, Michael Jordan scored 69 points in one basketball game. Towards the end of the game, one of the bench players on Jordan's team got in, and he actually got fouled, and he hit two free throws at the end of the game. Months later, this bench player on Jordan's team was asked in an interview, said, so like, what's been the highlight of your career so far? And he responded, you know, the highlight of my career, said, it had to be the night that Michael Jordan and I combined for 71 points. It's pretty good, isn't it? Not many of us can say that, right? We laugh at that, but here's what we know. Michael Jordan, as great as he was, he would have never won an NBA championship without his team. Right? And what Paul's saying here in 1 Corinthians 12 is that's even more true within the church. Paul says, listen, it's not a one man, it's not a two man, it's not a five man show. It takes everybody. In God's body, in the church, you matter to this body as much as anybody else does. Paul says, and God says, you are indispensable. In fact, if I could just help you remember three words from my entire message, it would be that. You are indispensable. Regardless of what maybe your parents told you growing up, regardless of what maybe your spouse says or your boss says, please hear this today. Okay? And man, I pray you believe it. Okay? You are indispensable. You play a significant role in the body of Christ. You know, we got some big dreams here at Verve. And man, we serve a big God who I think wants to do some big things through us in this community and honestly around the world. And we're excited because we're going to be sharing several of those things we believe God's calling us to do tonight at our State of the Church address. Right back here, 6:05 tonight. Man, I hope, go home, take a nap after you sign up for Verb, after you sign up for First Serve. Go home, take a nap, and come back here tonight because it's going to be just a great night. We're real excited about sharing some really cool things with you tonight. But here's what we know. To be everything that God wants us to be and to accomplish everything that God wants us to accomplish as Verve Church, we need each person to pull out their gift card and to put it in play and to redeem it. Everybody gets in on it. Everyone benefits. And so here's my question for you today. Have you redeemed your gift card? Because that gift that God gave you, that talent, that ability, well, it's not good unless redeemed. In just a moment, I'm going to pray for you, and the band's going to come up and play. And we just want to give you a few minutes to just really think about what you've heard today, to think about what Paul talked about in the scripture we looked at today. Maybe you're here and you're serving, and you're just highly involved, and maybe for you, it's just a chance for you to think, hey, how can I up my game? What are there some ways that maybe I can even grow this gift that God's given me? Maybe I've gotten in a rut or I'm kind of in a good place. And maybe God wants to challenge me even a little bit more. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been serving. You've been serving here at Verve, inside this place and outside in the community. And you just don't feel like you've found your sweet spot. And you may even come in this morning just kind of tempted to quit. Okay, I just encourage you, don't quit. Okay? You are indispensable. Okay? And I just encourage you, just keep serving. Keep trying different things. I promise you, God will help you discover that thing that He created you for. Okay? That gift card that He's given you. That role that He wants you to play in His body. And maybe you're here, and maybe you've been coming to prayer for some time now, but you've just never really engaged in serving. You just aren't really committed in that way. And I would just encourage you today to get in the game. And maybe you're even there and you think, I don't feel like I have a significant role or card to share. And again, I would just tell you, man, I just encourage you, man, change your mindset and believe what God says about you, that you're indispensable. And maybe you're here today and honestly, you're just not there, not only with the whole church thing, but just even with Jesus. You're not even sure He exists, and you just got a lot of questions. I would just say, man, we're glad you're here. Okay? And I would just encourage you, just keep coming. Just keep showing up. And you may not pray, but maybe even during this time, maybe just say a prayer like, God, I don't even know if you exist, but if you do, would you reveal yourself to me? Because here's what I believe. I believe God's got a gift card that He totally wants to give to you to do His work on this earth. And so we're going to give you some time just to download what you've heard today. And during this time, we celebrate communion as well. And what communion is communion is a piece of bread that's the body, represents the body of Christ, and juice that represents the blood of Christ. And we just remember the sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf. Before He gave us a spiritual gift, He gave us another gift, and that's the gift of eternal life. And so we just celebrate that grace that He accepts us just the way we are. And we thank Him for that gift. And so during this time, as the band plays, if you'd like to make your way to one of the communion tables, we've got them set up with the candles on them around the room, and you can do that. But first, let me pray for you. God, thanks so much for just the genius way you designed the church. And God, forgive us for just, man, so many times just kind of taking that gift that you've given us, sticking it in our wallet, and just not using it. Forgive us of times, Lord, that when we just feel, we look around and maybe we compare our gift with others and we feel insignificant and not as important. And God, I pray you would just remind us today that you'd open our hearts and have us hear this, that God, we are indispensable, that we matter to you, and you want to use us in this world to make a difference and to help other people to know of your love and experience your love for them. And God, with each person in this room, God, you know them intimately. And God, you know what you have next for them. And God, I just pray that you would just help them to have open hearts, open hands, just to hear from you and how you want to use them within your body here on earth. God, help us redeem our gifts so we can make a difference for you. God, thanks for Jesus and the gift that he's given to us of eternal life. And God, we just want to celebrate that right now. In Jesus' name, amen.